Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it as always. Hopefully everybody's Thursday is off to a great start. Good morning to you, Randy.
What's happening, man? Yeah, man. It is a bristy Thursday morning. As you know, as
you could call it a Chillville Thursday.
It was kind of chilly out there this morning, Andy. You know, and but at the same time, it's going to get back in the 80s, and so you know we get pump faked again for the last month of for the last part of October. We get pump faked with this weather, man. But yeah, man, it is a big college football weekend. I know last weekend you were saying that a lot of people were looking at last weekend, which lived up to it.
It was.
But this weekend,
yeah, it was
you know,
great.
Some people might say this one's even bigger than last weekend. So I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, Falcons, you know, is this a prove-it game to you? Because I look at this as a prove-it game to me when I look at this game right here. I think that, and I'm not saying that Seattle's world beaters or anything like that. I look at this as a prove-it game. Go get this one. You know what I mean? Like, they need to win it. I'm not saying everything's a must win, but they need to go get this one.
Yeah.
They need to go get this
one. It's not the same thing to me as last week where you're playing against just a completely inferior team in Carolina. But Seattle's inferior to the Falcons.
Yeah.
Like, the Falcons are better than the Seahawks are. And, you know, I think that the areas that they're inferior as well is a place where the Falcons should be able to take advantage of. Like, the Seahawks are not good on defense. They've been destroyed the last 3 weeks when they've played real opponents. They're 3-3. You got to kind of look at the details of that 3-3, right? They got off to a 3-0 start against a very fortunate, I mean, a rookie quarterback week one. They played the post-Dolphins Tua the very first week after that.
Yes.
Like, they barely beat the Patriots, who suck, like, in week two. So, like, they're all right. They got some spots that are good. Like, Geno, if you don't get after him, can make you pay. Their running backs are talented. Geno's leading the league in passing, like, through 6 weeks.
Yes.
So, I mean, if you don't pressure him, he's going to tear you apart. They got great wide receivers. And they got some guys on defense, but you should be able to do what you want to do against that defense. But, yeah, it's similar to last week where it's like, all right, like, if it really is different, like, if you really are this team that you look like you have been the last couple of weeks and want people to think you are and want to be, then you welcome the Seahawks into Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
And you beat them.
And you beat them. And you know, I don't know, you're not going to blow teams out. It's the NFL for the most part. But you beat them convincingly because you're better than they are.
I agree. And these are those building blocks, those stepping stones of how you do your culture. You beat who you're supposed to beat. Now, we know any given Sunday it can happen. I understand that. We get it. And like you were saying, Seattle has some really good players. They have some game-breaking players that can cause you problems. And obviously, we'll ask Jimmy Lake about some of their personnel, but everybody knows that these guys are household names, you know, and as far as their ability to make plays, to catch contested balls, to break tackles, to do all these different things. And so you always got to be on your stuff when as far as that part about it. But I look at this team, they're, in my opinion, I think the best teams. I know that the Vikings are undefeated. But I still think Detroit is the class of the NFC.
I do too.
I think they're there. And then I put them there. Minnesota behind them. And then I think if you look at the Falcons and Green Bay, maybe, and San Francisco, the way San Francisco playing this year now, a loaded San Francisco, I put them above the Falcons. But I think right there, those three teams somewhere circling for the third spot.
Yeah, I know it's funny. The Vikings are undefeated, and I still think the Lions are the best team in that division.
Yes.
And I think they're the best team in the conference right now.
They play this weekend, don't they?
They do.
Okay.
That's a big deal, though, losing that Aiden Hutchinson on that defensive line.
It really is, man.
Like, I know that the identity of that team is their offense for sure. They score a million points. They're very creative.
But he's a closer.
He's the guy.
He's
the guy on that defense.
I saw they just signed their D-tackle to some big money.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I saw they signed their D-tackle to some big money. But, no, you're right, Blunt. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson's that dude. Aiden Hutchinson is a defensive player of the year caliber player who is having his best year so far, man. And for him to go down, that's why, you know, you see everybody, they're the ultimate of all the pass rushers that are coming out. Their names comes, you know, when you talk about Hassan Reddick and Za'Darius Smith and those people like that. Because they need that. You know, I heard somebody say that they can't win a Super Bowl without Hutch. Don't believe that. I don't believe that. But damn it, it's going to be a lot harder without Hutch.
They might, yeah. That's sort of going under the premise that you thought they could win a Super Bowl with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe. But yeah, without him, it's going to be harder.
Yeah,
and obviously, it's the number one thing that if you were saying that you wish the Falcons could figure out or you wish they had or whatever. That would be it. Obviously, a dynamic pass rusher. They went out and got Matt Judon. He's been okay, but he hasn't been great thus far. I do think one thing that gets forgotten a little bit, I don't know how much of a difference he would have made. I'm not saying he would have been TJ Watt or anything like that. But they did draft Braylon Trice in the third round, mm-hmm. and Braylon Trice was supposed to be a big part of the pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt, I think, in one of those split squad practices or whatever with the Dolphins way back in August, and he obviously hadn't been able to be a part of it. I was thinking about him for a couple of different reasons. One of them being it would be nice if the Falcons had him. Maybe it would help the pass rush. But more than that, the last time Texas lost, he was the biggest reason why.
Yeah, he was a wrecker.
Like, I know that game, people probably remember Penix and the offense and stuff like that. The reason that Washington got the lead they got was because Texas couldn't do anything mm-hmm. offensively because Braylon Trice was living in Quinn Ewers' jersey. That's how Georgia can beat Texas on Saturday.
Yes.
Because I was like, when's the last time they lost? And obviously it's only been a few games to start this season, but last time they lost was in the playoffs to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They had a great offense last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were a really good team last year.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't do anything offensively for the first three quarters of that game mm-hmm. because Braylon Trice mm-hmm. was a one-man wrecking crew.
Hey, that's the thing about
Georgia's supposed to have guys that are better than Braylon Trice.
He's supposed to have Williams. He's supposed to be Brady. Number 11, this young boy who splashed on the scene and had a couple quiet games. Those two dudes got to get after it. I know they got some really good tackles at Texas. They were there last year.
They had really good tackles last year, too.
They got to get that defensive line, especially those edge rushers, have got to get after it in order for Georgia to have a shot in this game. I mean, and we'll continue to talk more and more about it, but I'm absolutely Texas ain't seen nothing like this yet.
Mm-mm.
They haven't, and rightfully so.
Especially not on in terms of what Georgia has offensively.
They have not seen it, all right? And I don't think they have seen it. I mean, Oklahoma has a good defense.
I don't know. So does Michigan.
Yeah, so does Michigan.
And Georgia might not.
And I think Michigan's defense is probably better than Georgia. Maybe they got better personnel. Who knows? But, yeah, when you talk about going down to Austin and making this a game, Georgia, we talked about it. We'll continue to talk about it. They got to get off to a fast start offensively. They got to get out to a fast start. Last week, we saw they were trying to get Carson going. Hopefully, that can go over there. The biggest thing with Carson can have an interception. He can't be turning the damn ball over, especially in the damn scoring zone. Throwing an interception in the end zone. You know, either he gets it, or either I guy gets it, or nobody gets it. And so, Carson's got to play. And I ain't saying – I don't think Georgia's got to play a perfect game, because there is no such thing as a perfect game. But they got to play really good.
Yeah.
They got to play their best game of the year.
I also think – I don't know. I mean, sometimes when we talk about this, we go so far as to say, you know, this guy has to do this, but he doesn't have to be – I don't know, man. Like, I think Carson Beck does have to be. Like, I think Carson Beck has to be the best player in the game for Georgia to win this game.
Yeah.
I mean, does he have to be Superman? Whatever. Like, however you want to put it.
I just think he has to be the best Carson Beck.
He has to be great.
Yes.
Like, if they're going to win this game, he has to be great. And it's okay to say that.
Yeah.
Like, there's enough evidence now in this season for Georgia to say that they're inconsistent in a lot of different areas, including him. Like, he's an inconsistent player. But if they're going to beat Texas and they're actually going to turn this season from where it is now to another playoff team and another championship run and all that stuff, it comes back to him.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked about the Alabama-Georgia game, it was a referendum on Carson Beck,
mm-hmm.
and he failed it.
Mm-hmm.
He just did. Mm-hmm. Like, I know he played better in the second half, but he played awful in the first, and the game ended on an interception that he threw.
Mm-hmm.
He failed that test. If he fails the test again on Saturday, they're going to have two losses.
Yes.
Like, that's just what it is.
He has to be the best Carson Beck. He can't be throwing the ball, but they got to help him.
Sure,
they got to catch the ball.
No doubt about it.
Aaron Smith.
No doubt about it.
Because Aaron Smith is going to get opportunities down the field.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to catch the damn football. All right? They are going to get opportunities to throw the ball down the field. They just got to make the play. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. Texas is going to make their damn play.
Texas is going to make some plays.
Yeah, Texas is going to make some plays.
Texas is going to make some plays.
Georgia's got to make the play when they're there. And they're going to be there. And so, you know, when you go back to, you know, the overall matchup, their lines of scrimmage are better than Georgia's right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Georgia has been better than everybody.
Where does Georgia have the advantage in this game? Because I think they have the advantage in one area that I haven't really heard talked about all that much, but maybe it's not the most important. The players on the field are the most important.
Yes.
They have the coaching advantage in this game.
I mean,
it's not close.
I think we all know that.
But no one talks about it.
Oh, yeah. I
don't know how this has happened, because some coaches don't avoid it, and Sark has been able to. Like, he's never won a big game, really. Like,
but we said the same thing about Dan Lanning last week,
and he
got it.
I know. But that's the funny little narrow margin of these things, though, right? Because if Ohio State doesn't shoot himself in the foot, then we're questioning Dan Lanning still, right?
Yeah, Ryan Dance, Kirby, I understand that.
Did Dan Lanning, like, prove, and I guess maybe if the 12 men on the field thing is real, then I guess he did. But, like, did Dan Lanning prove that he's not a questionable decision maker, or is Ryan Day just a more questionable decision maker?
I think, you know, Ryan Day's mean? More a questionable decision maker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think all these big games come down to stuff like that. And the reality is this. Like, everyone always wants it to be, you know, my coach is savvy and Mike. Really, in those moments, it's a coach making a mistake more than it is a coach doing something brilliant.
But the thing about it is, it only seems like Kirby makes mistakes against one team. They have not
Kirby
lost.
Kirby doesn't make mistakes in big moments anymore.
They haven't lost to anybody but Alabama.
Right.
And I think it's out 50 games.
Right.
Only
right.
team has ever beat them.
Right. Sark wins games when his teams have the decided personnel advantage. I don't know that Sark has ever outcoached anyone in his life. And he's not going to outcoach Kirby.
No.
Now, if they're way better from a personnel standpoint, then they'll beat Georgia. But I don't think they are. And if it comes down to a close game in the fourth quarter.
Which is going to be.
Yeah. Like, again, maybe I'm too close to it. I saw this guy coach a lot of close games and lose almost all of them when he was at Washington based on decision making and bad timeouts and over gambling and all kinds of stuff like that. Like, they've had really good teams for the last couple of years, so they haven't been in that many games like this. But when he's in close games, he's still Steve Sarkisian.
Sarkisian.
So, he is. He is. And that's not a compliment. It's not a compliment. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show on a Trillville Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm really excited about that matchup with him and AJ and watching those guys go out there and compete. Like, that, AJ has one of the toughest jobs on the team every single week, right? You go out
right.
first week of the season, you got Pickens. Next week of the season, you got this guy. Then you got Deontay Johnson last week. And you're going to go out there and you're going to match that guy up with those guys that we know how much money they make.
Right, right, right.
Every single week, and they don't make that money by mistake. They make it because they earn it, and he has to go out there and play. And they're going to make catches. They're going to have receptions, and you got to keep fighting.
And he makes a lot of money, too.
Hell yeah.
For that specific reason. Like, yep. AJ Terrell got a whole new big contract this preseason to be that guy, and he has been. And he's been pretty solid. There's been games that were better than other ones. He had a pick last week, and it's great to see.
Yeah, man, that's the only thing about being a corner, because you can play 40 plays.
Yep.
Play 40 plays covering a guy, and he catches three balls on you.
Yep.
And maybe one of those four touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Oh, he sucks. What about the other 37 damn plays?
He did great on this other 37.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's good. That's just what happens, right?
Yep,
you talk about, like, the best cornerback I've ever been on the field with was Darrell Revis. You didn't catch balls on him.
Mm-mm.
You just didn't.
No.
You know, unless you were a all-world Randy Moss type player or prime whatever, whatever. And a lot of them times, you didn't get a catch on him. But no, that's what you gave him the money for, to play against these number one guys. Mm-hmm. And they get the best because he's a receiver and you know where you're going. And as a corner, you got to make the right technique and right guess and all those other different things. But, I thought, when you talk about their receiver core, we mentioned it every day this week. I mean, DK Metcalf, in my opinion, is a bona fide number one receiver. This dude is an animal. All right? He's a stud. He breaks tackles. Now, the one thing about him is he gets overly aggressive, so you better be – if he's blocking you, you better not be, like, pulling back, because this dude will embarrass you. Mm-hmm. So you better stay grown man strong the whole time, all right, when y'all locked up, because this dude will try to put you on your back.
He'll also fumble. And you got Jesse Bates out there with the little jab punch. He knocked a couple balls loose so far this season. So, I mean, that's one of those things, is like, you're fighting him to get to the ground. Fight him. Because Jesse might be able to get in there and knock a ball loose. Because Deke, I don't know if it's a problem, but he's put the ball on the ground quite a bit. I mean, he's a deep threat, man. He'll beat you over the top. And Geno and him have a great connection. Mm-hmm. And
he can go.
He's a nightmare if you let him be. One of the best ways to stop those deep balls is to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, that would help.
Don't let the play develop. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Get there before he's able to get all the way downfield. Smith and Jigba's had a kind of an up and down year, but he's a really solid player. Obviously, look, Tyler Lockett has been in the league for a decade, catches everything.
He finally cut that damn George Jefferson off.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he finally cut it off, man.
That's pretty good.
It was, dog. I was like, dude, this got to be like a prank or you doing it for the cul-de-sac brothers or something, man, because you got to let that go.
Yeah, but look, they got good skill positions, certainly from a receiver position. They got good running backs. Geno's a good quarterback. They have an awful offensive line, and you have to be able to take advantage of that.
Who's the tight end out there, Buck?
So, Noah Fant? Is kind of the lead guy now.
Is Disley still there?
No, he's not there.
Disley's not there. Okay.
No, I don't know where he went, but he's not there.
Look, I like him coming out.
He's a good player.
Yeah, I like him coming out of college. Yeah.
Chargers. Plays for the Chargers.
Okay, yeah, I like to come out of college. But I think that, you know, you
me too.
Noah Fant could play, you know, when they're given the opportunity. I mean, that's why they put through, they wanted him in a trade for us. The dude could play. And, you know, he's a first-round draft pick for a reason. Coming out of Iowa, he's a good player and everything. And they just have not, ingratiated him that much in this offense. But the dude, he still has a lot of ability. And you said it, they're leading the league in passing because they can't really run the football.
Yeah.
And they got good runners that can't run the ball. Now, when you talk about this Atlanta Falcons defense, they're not the best run-stopping defense in the league. So that's why you always, you know, don't be the get-right defense for that run game to get going. Because, you know, when they can find a way to run the football, that takes less pressure off of Geno to have to do that. Because the more Geno throws, the more likely he's to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
The more likely he's going to throw you an interception.
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes we talk about matchups and it's like it's a strength on a strength. And
right.
We'll see who's better at it. A lot of this matchup is kind of a weakness on a weakness. Like, they're not a very good run team so far because their offensive line isn't very good. Well, the Falcons don't stop the run great.
Right.
So, I guess which one's worse? Like, their offensive line can't really protect the quarterback, but the Falcons sure can't rush the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess which one's worse?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, their defense is not particularly good at stopping much. Certainly not good at stopping the pass game.
They got some good damn players.
Now, I guess the Falcons are good at throwing the football.
Yeah.
So that's helpful. You should be able to take advantage.
And they got some nice corners, nice young corners.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they got some nice young corners.
Well, they got Devin Witherspoon, who we both loved.
Love coming out of
a couple years ago in the draft.
And then you saw the game against the Jets, it was? Well, you saw why. This dude was unbelievable. And, I mean, they got some good young corners. The linebacker, they're good, but they're hurt. They're good, but they're hurt. And I don't know what the hell's going on in the interior. Leonard Williams, he is what he is.
Well, and they got Brian Murphy from Texas, too.
He's a big dude.
But he's hurt.
That's what I'm saying. Like, their defense, they're young. They got some good young players on their defense, but they're just all banged up.
Yeah.
They're all banged up, especially on that defensive line. But, I mean, you look at their corners, they got two really good young corners. Really good.
But Tariq Woolen's hurt, too.
That can tackle.
You know?
That can tackle.
So that's a part of it, is their defense has guys, but – like half the really good ones are hurt.
Yeah.
Which is how they gave up 30 points at home to Daniel Jones a couple weeks ago. If Daniel Jones can put up 30 points on that defense in Seattle, then Kirk Cousins in this offense should be able to put up 30 plus in Atlanta.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I mean, they back to back game 30 points. Why can't he score 30 again?
Do it again. Oh, sign me up for that. They scored 30, they're going to win this game. Let's hear from Kirby Smart talking about the stadium environment at Texas.
Oh, the similar environments? Yeah, I don't know. That's one place I've never been. I mean, I've been, but I've never been for a game. I've been there to meet with their staff like years ago, but I don't know. I mean, I know it's SEC environment. I know it's a, you know, top 10 matchup. I mean, you're talking about powerhouse program. So then we at least we played at Kentucky, which was really hard. We played at Alabama, which was really hard. And so we've got some experience in that environment, but it'll be road environment.
That place going to be crazy.
Oh yeah.
Is it Longhorn Stadium?
I don't know.
Whatever
it's called. Texas Stadium.
It's going to be absolutely
DK
bonkers.
Royal. Okay.
It's going to be bonkers down there.
Yeah.
And it's first of all, Austin, Texas right now is on. Was it Liddy? Is that the word?
That's not what I would say,
but I think
that's right.
It's Liddy. You heard Rusty talking about people are already at the airport flying down there today.
Yeah.
Obviously, Formula One is down there this weekend for the first one, I think, in Austin. So that's going to be a whole nother crowd that's going to be absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
Because
do those crowds overlap at all?
I don't know. Because F1 is –
because it doesn't seem like
F1 crowds are – well, the crowd itself. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But like it's more celebrity.
Right. It seems kind of like, I mean, you are kind of a new F1
yes.
fan,
yes.
and Mike Bell's a big F1 yes. fan and a big college football
yes.
fan. So there's some Venn diagram.
There's somewhere, there's somewhere in that area.
Like somebody's going to go to both.
Rich,
you got to have a lot of money.
You got to have a lot of money to go to both of them.
Yeah.
But it's going to it's going to be a lot of fun. That atmosphere is going to be crazy.
I believe Daryl Royal, who the stadium is named after, I believe his first game he ever coached at Texas was against Georgia.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what was the score?
Don't remember. Don't recall.
No, it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be a heavyweight fight.
It is.
It's a heavyweight
absolutely
fight,
right.
You know. And Georgia is becoming the standard in the SEC. I still think it is Alabama, but whatever. But Texas, Sark built an SEC team.
Definitely.
He built
yep,
this.
Definitely.
You know, and so these dudes are going to come in. They're just as big as Georgia. They're just as fast as Georgia, maybe faster. You know, they're everything that you need to win in this game. And just like Kirby said a couple days ago, they are built like we were when we were winning championships. Built just
yep.
like it. funky in the interior. Yep. Quarterback, receivers, runners. I mean, I think they defense. I mean, they got everything now. They're giving up 6 points a game. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Dude, exactly. The best passing offense they've played so far, and no disrespect to them, they're good for the level that they play at. Was UTSA.
Yes.
UTSA. That's the best passing offense they've played. I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that Carson Beck and Georgia's passing offense is better than that.
I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
I'm almost.
I feel good about that.
I'm
now,
almost positive.
How good? I don't know.
We'll see.
At times, very. At other times, not as.
If they catch,
I have to find a way to be consistent.
If they catch the ball.
Yeah, that's true.
If Georgia receivers catch the ball.
Yeah, you had this number earlier in the week, and you're spot on about it. I mean, Carson Beck is second in the nation in terms of dropped yardage lost.
Yes.
200 yards of dropped passes so far this year.
Just catch it.
Yeah.
Especially number 11, because he's going to.
Well, and I have to imagine 150 of those.
He's going to get opportunity. He is. He's going to get those, and he's going to get them, and Carson's going to put it there.
Yeah.
Catch it.
Got to catch it.
Got to catch it.
Because he's going to get open because he's fast as hell.
Yes, he's going to
get it. And Carson's going to put it there because he has.
Yes.
He has.
Catch it.
You just got to make the play.
Got to catch it.
And it's going to happen early, too, because it always happens early.
You know what?
The first drive Georgia has.
It's already scripted.
It is.
Bubba already got the first 15 scripted.
It's the second first and 10 they get.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
The first, whatever they do, you're going to run it on first down. Maybe they pick up the first down on the second play. That second first and 10, Arian Smith. Down the field.
Yep. In these corners, you got to go. Now, I saw that Bond is going to be back this week.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big damn deal.
I saw
Bond's going to be back this week. But, I mean, when you look at it, it's Kirby's not. They're not going to change their defense and go, we're going to go zone and all of that stuff. No. They're going to play man-to-man. They're going to play man-to-man, and the ball's going to be in the air, and Quinn Ewers is as accurate quarterback as there is in college football, and they're going to have opportunities to make plays. What Kirby always talks about, you got to have more moments than them. They're going to make some plays.
Mm-hmm.
They're too damn good not to. Texas is going to make plays. They're too damn good not to. It's going to happen. But how does Georgia, when they get the opportunity to win, when they get an opportunity to get an interception, when you get an opportunity to get a guy on the ground to keep it to make it fourth down instead of that, when Quinn Ewers tries to get those dirty yards and you collapse their pocket, those are the things. And it ain't about being perfect. This is like we said earlier. Georgia don't got to play a perfect game to beat Texas.
No.
But Georgia's got to play good. They got to play their best game of the season.
Absolutely. Without question. They have to play as sound as they did in the second half against Clemson. They have to play as explosively as they did in that 15-minute stretch against Alabama.
Definitely.
Like, there's been glimpses of it. Unfortunately, it just hasn't been consistent enough. And they got to hit the quarterback, too.
Really?
Like, the most impactful hit on a quarterback Georgia's had this year was Kirby. On the sideline last week. that's got to change, man. What's the guy's name? Mikael Williams? I know he was hurt. I know he got cheap-shotted in the first game, but come on.
It's time to go.
You got to get home, man. Like, this guy's got to get Quinn Ewers on the. Because this is true of any quarterback, but Quinn's not like. He's athletic, but he's not like some of these guys that can make you pay if you overcommit to trying to get him on the ground. Like, if you rush Quinn Ewers and make him uncomfortable, he'll make mistakes.
Yes, he will.
And he'll throw the ball away, and you can win in that way. He's got to have these playmakers do it, and unfortunately they haven't done it quite yet. All right, we're going to get to the back page with Bo coming up next. Jimmy Lake, the Falcons defensive coordinator, is going to join us at 12:40 when the back page normally happens, so the back page will be next. This hour of the Midday Show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Body, body. I start this body, body. If you body, get them up. Say we body, body. We big body. I represent.
They sure do.
Yeah.
They sure do. I was like, what's going on? Oh, they play Thursday Night Football.
Yeah. Saints play tonight.
Broncos Saints. A real barn burner tonight, baby.
Sean Payton revenge?
Oh, right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
In New Orleans, too.
Oh, he's down there.
Okay. Drew Brees, Ring of Honor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's actually really cool. There's a lot of stuff going on in that game tonight.
Wow. Sean Payton's coming back, and then they're retiring Drew Brees.
Smart.
Surely that's done on purpose.
Yeah. So Sean can be out there, give him a hug and everything.
And that game will not be available here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game because we've got Hawks Thunder preseason action tonight. So you can listen to that on WAOK if you want to hear the Broncos and the Saints. Pregame at 7:30, kickoff at 8:15. We'll get to the back page with Bo in just a minute. as Jimmy Lake, the defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons, is going to join us in the normal back page spot at 12:40. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in about 20 minutes as well. Sounds like it's not quite the same thing as Amari Cooper and Davante Adams, but it sounds like there's probably another wide receiver going to be on the move.
Oh, yeah, Mike Williams, he was a DNP today, meaning did not practice.
Yeah.
For personal reasons.
Personal reasons.
Yeah.
Meaning.
So, yeah. His ass ain't playing.
Probably traded.
Yeah,
maybe right back to the Chargers.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
I'll take it back if I'm the Chargers.
Why not?
I mean, they need help. Looks like, but they can use him.
We'll take four games of Mike Williams before he gets hurt in New Orleans any day.
Right.
Because all New Orleans receivers are hurt.
All three of the starters are hurt.
I saw them on the list, too. I think it was the Chargers, the Saints, and one other team logo is like the teams most likely to be interested in Mike Williams. So, anyway, we'll get to that. We'll keep looking ahead to this weekend in the NFL as well. Starts tonight. Week 7. Crazy. Seven?
Yeah, man.
Week 7?
Yeah, man.
Starts tonight between the Broncos and the Saints.
It goes by so fast.
It really does. Once it starts, it's just, it's like a free fall. It's crazy.
It goes by too fast.
All right, let's get to the back page with Bo. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Hello, Bo.
So I've got some fun baseball and some fun football stuff for y'all, but nothing is more important or maybe even disturbing as this lead story. Do you know who Luana Alonso is?
P. Alonso's lady.
I don't think so, but maybe.
Oh.
I don't.
She's an Olympic swimmer.
Guess,
she's the Olympic swimmer who reportedly was kicked out of Olympic Village for, let's see, I don't know. She was an inappropriate atmosphere.
Oh.
If that can be done in Olympic Village.
Did she walk around nude or something?
Has to have been more than that, I would
imagine.
Name?
What's her name again?
Luana Alonso, and if you Google her, you're probably going to come across this story.
Okay.
So there's a company called Real Doll. If you can imagine what they make dolls.
Sex dolls?
They're real. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Like full, like a full body one?
Yep.
Not blow up?
No, yeah, these are like, if I'm not mistaken, it's like if you take the brain out of a robot and just have a dead body there. It's not a blow up. These are bodies of humans.
Okay.
All right, so Real Doll approached Luana Alonso, who is a swimmer, and they sent her a letter. Here's what the letter reads. At Real Doll, we pride ourselves in offering our clients unique, customized, and lifelike creations that help them connect with their fans in a truly personal way. With your growing success, we believe there is an exciting opportunity for us to collaborate. Okay. We would like to offer you the chance to mold your feet into a lifelike, high-quality material, which we would then make available for sale to your fans. Now, originally, when coming across the story, I was thinking they were going to take their full-size doll and just put her feet on them.
Okay.
So maybe you take feet from the swimmer, hands from somebody else, and face from somebody else, and now you've got a Frankenstein doll that's just beautiful.
Yeah, just like a fetish Frankenstein.
No. These guys are just going to make her feet.
What?
Oh.
And they're going to sell her feet. They're going to go for around $2,000 for 1 foot.
What is wrong with her? What is so special about her feet?
You got great feet or what?
You can get the pair for $3,500.
Well, that's a deal. That's $500 off.
She gets 20% of this, by the way. But for an additional $500, she'll autograph them for you.
Why?
Lifelike feet.
What is going on with her? That's what I'm saying. Why are her feet so significant?
She has an OnlyFans page. I've never seen it. Maybe she has beautiful feet.
Oh, okay.
Let me look.
Oh, yeah. Look. That's work computer.
I'm just looking.
Okay,
at feet.
I'm just curious. So,
I mean, they just look like feet.
Okay,
it's like feet, right?
They don't look. They're not bad feet,
but they're not like feet.
Well, you became a foot dude on me.
Well, I mean, I can look at a foot and say if it's weird or not. It's not weird. It's not I'm not saying it's not a bad.
Oh,
foot.
I thought you like.
It's got 10 toes, and
is one bigger than the other?
It's got 5 on one and 5 on the other.
Is one bigger? Is the
big toe's the biggest?
Okay, all right.
See, and then I'm in descending
kind of
order
toe
from
the
there.
Biggest guy.
You like
the middle toe biggest?
Mine are.
Yours
so
are.
That's
I thought that's what you were looking for.
That's what I would find attractive, too. If my feet are like that, why would I not find that attractive?
I think that's sort of like.
You think your feet are attractive, Bo?
No.
Oh.
I think I have one attractive foot. I think I could be a foot model for my right foot.
Oh no, you see,
my left foot is bad.
Y'all don't see my right foot. That one there is the. I don't know what.
How's your left foot?
Left foot's it's in there though. I got this new egg thing that scrapes off dead skin.
Okay,
dude, I'm looking fresh over
so
here.
So between the two
back,
of us,
these back heels are sparkling.
You use your left one. I'll use my right
yeah,
one.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
we'll appeal to a broad audience.
Here. Yeah, because that right one, that one thing. It,
so I'm gonna call Real Doll for y'all and see if we can get the Andy and Randy set.
But just
no, I want a doll of me.
No, I would actually like to make a sex doll.
Yeah,
of
I want to make a doll of myself.
Yeah, I think that'd be a sell.
But
of course,
okay, so they sell real dolls, the full body doll. How much one of them run you?
Oh, I don't know. I can find out for
yeah,
you.
I was curious.
Well, let's just.
If I had to guess, I'd say they're probably about $15,000.
Well, let's
$15,000.
Well, let's estimate. If 1 foot is $2,000.
Yeah.
2 feet's $3,500.
Yeah. Now this is Olympic swimmer foot. Maybe just regular person foot's only $1,000, and maybe just regular old. Fannie Mae walking down the streets only, you know, a $7,000 doll.
Yeah, maybe.
A whole doll.
So, of course, part two to this conversation. When you want me to get to Shohei Ohtani's home run, you just let me know. So,
no, I have a lot more
maybe
questions.
I don't. We can always skip baseball, man, because the Braves ain't playing. I really don't care.
Can I just so we're clear, like, someone would spend $3,500 on molds of her feet for sex stuff?
I guess to put them in their mouth or something? I don't know. What else are you going to do with the rubber?
Also, where does it end, do you think? Like, is it just right at the ankle bone? Do you get a little bit of calf in there?
It's below the ankle.
Okay.
Your foot, just the foot.
Just straight.
If you want ankle, that's another grand.
Just metatarsals. That's it.
Okay. Ah, there it is right there. The price.
Of the doll.
Yes.
Randy's doing this on his phone, by the way, just to be safe.
This thing says $30,000.
$30,000. I mean, you can.
I severely underestimated this. $30,000?
For Nia. Yeah.
Nia who?
$30,000.
And these aren't even the SpaceX dolls. Like, these don't talk to you.
Damn.
Or do stuff for you.
I just feel like with $30,000. For less than $30,000.
You can just go buy.
You can accomplish the goal, right? Like
$30,000.
I don't.
Whatever that would take.
Is that how much people are willing to pay for silence?
Yes. It would seem like, are you just a. We always talk about the freaks, they come in, freaks come in freaks. All right? All right? And I'm not, and I will, no, I will, I will talk bad about you. You are a damn weirdo. Okay?
Yes.
You are a damn weirdo if you got a life size doll in your bed.
It's
you
true.
Think that arrives at your door in discreet packaging?
It has to.
Like Blue Chew?
Like, it has to.
Do you think you have Blue Chew and then assembled?
You're a weirdo.
You have to put it together?
Right, I don't know. I don't know.
Do you have the option of making a Frankenstein doll? Like if I want somebody's feet and somebody
else's. I want her feet. I like this person's hands. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. It's all. I'm with you, Randy. We try to reserve judgment and not be judgmental.
I'm going to be a judge.
But if you spend $30,000 on a sex doll.
That's very weird.
You're weird.
You're a weird dude, man.
You're beyond weird.
Yeah. I got to think there's probably. We don't have a ton of people in the audience right now that are
okay. We got some cheaper ones.
Okay, good.
Okay, that one was $30,000. Okay.
Too much.
Other ones are like. Oh, they're on sale. They got a half price off. They're about $700.
What would you say the difference is? Are they ugly?
I mean, they.
That tends to be the difference.
Here we go.
The higher the price, the higher the quality.
Hey, look at this right here. Oh, man.
That's a very specific body type.
That's very specific body type right there.
That's like that lady at church you're always talking
man,
about.
I was like, that's Sister Renee right there. They got a Sister Renee doll.
I'm telling you, man.
And you can get Sister Renee for $500.
Sister Renee's on sale?
Sister Renee's on sale for $575.
I feel like if you just put $100 in the collection plate and are nice to Sister Renee, you could take the real thing home with you.
But you
know what I mean?
But the thing about that, you gotta let Sister Renee watch you
silence
put it in
costs
there.
Money.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to sit next to Sister Renee. Try to make it casual, but not casual. Just drop the money in the collection plate. You know, you're a man. You know, you're a man of God, all that. And then sweet talk Sister Renee, that's the real thing.
Man. Dare I ask, if Real Doll were to send the two of you a letter,
okay,
what would they be asking you to permission to mold?
All of me.
All of you? Just the Randy Michael?
Yep.
Here's the Randy Michael, $35,000.
You know the part of me that my wife, the most unusual part of me that my wife likes, like that you probably wouldn't think of?
No.
My forearms.
Oh,
she loves.
There you
them.
Go. There you go.
She thinks I have really good forearms.
There. I have one similar to that. I got. I might have you beat.
On what?
What part that that Tara would probably have molded?
What part does she like?
Veins.
Veins.
She's a nurse.
Oh.
Now veins stick out of my arms like at all times, and she just pushes them.
Just like that would be so easy to put an IV into.
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah. She wants to do it so bad. I'm like, well, bring one home. We'll see.
You'd be so good at heroin if you wanted to.
Yeah.
No,
what part of you does Donna like the most?
Oh, she loves my back, the upper back and traps.
Well, that's great.
Like that.
That's great.
That's why we're tank top.
For a Randy Michael back.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, what's a Randy back going to run you?
I mean, that's crazy, dog. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, there's some freaks out there.
$700.
Death, taxes, and freaks, people.
Dude. No, don't do it.
Say yes. Nope. Come on. We've gone all this way.
No, because I was going
to. You're on vacation for a week and a half.
What puts you in a freak category to buy a doll like that? Is it like you can't get.
Yeah, you have to have a lot, like no social skills.
And a lot of money. Obviously that, but yeah, no social skills.
Yeah.
Like that. Probably basement kid.
But you probably have your own spot. If you have $30,000,
those guys that sit in their mom's basement and get rich off of YouTube.
Oh,
I'm believing that, like, they sit at the dinner. You sit at the. Like, if I'm paying $30,000 for it, I'm sitting at the dinner table with her, right?
Yeah.
And talking to her.
Yeah.
She might not talk back, though. You gotta
that's what I'm saying. Make a plate for her.
Mm-hmm.
Make a plate for her.
Do you make real food? Or do you just have the same fake food and put it in front of her every time?
I don't know.
Different. She has her favorite dishes.
Can we get somebody and talk to them about this that's done this out there? Anybody? Oh, this is her in everything.
Go on, Abe. Produce the show. Find one for us.
I wasn't going to say that.
I wasn't going to say find one for us.
I wasn't going to say find one, Abe. But
I was going to say one person's been noticeably
silent.
Someone
in your Rolodex must certainly fit this.
One of us has been noticeably silent during this conversation. Rarely silent.
Yeah, you were quiet. You were quiet.
I've been listening to see if we need to use the dump button.
Yeah, you were really quiet.
Mostly.
Hey, dog. Hey, you know how I looked up on that website and you get the automatic chat people? They're chatting with me.
Oh, what are they asking you?
First time purchase?
Can you get like a frequent buyer card, like at a coffee shop?
Yes.
You get like a little punch out every time. Oh man!
Buy it. Hold on. Buy it now and enter to win a free head. They're gonna give you a doll head.
Terrible. There's a lot of big football games coming up. We need to talk about them. All right? Don't go anywhere, please. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.